Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 510 here on News Radio 92.3. Happy Easter yesterday. Hope you had a very good one. We've got kind of a big story here on News Radio, something that I did not see coming, but now that I think about it, it almost seems like an obvious one. After months of controversy surrounding Santa Rosa Commissioner James Calkins' proposal to erect the tallest flagpole in Florida near the county's administrative complex in Milton, y'all know this story, obviously, a surprise plan has now emerged to avoid all of the issues surrounding the public funding. Remember, that had been the issue. Is everybody kind of wishes we could have the big flag. We just don't want to pay for it with tax dollars. Well, according to an email that I obtained yesterday, James Calkins, Commissioner James Calkins, has directly reached out to former President Trump asking for his help in the project, offering to fly the largest Trump flag in Florida just beneath the giant American flag. Calkins writes in his email, "Since we are about to put up the greatest flag in all of Florida, it should obviously be a tribute to the greatest president who ever lived. Respectfully, sir, I want to say that is you. Some of these rhino liberals around here have been messing up my plan to make Santa Rosa great again, but I believe in you, sir. I want to build the largest USA flag in Florida and have the largest Trump flag in Florida right beneath it. I know the fake news media have been lying about how broke you are, sir, but I know you can easily write a check for $500,000, which would cover the whole project cost, including land, pole, one huge American flag, and one equally huge Trump 2024 flag. Flying at 207 feet, which, as you know, as a Bible scholar, seven is the Lord's number, these flags will show everyone who drives on I-10 just how much Florida and Santa Rosa County love you, sir." Now, you know, when I first saw this email, I thought, wow, that actually fits. I mean, that's like a genius workaround to the problem of public funding. And I thought, but, you know, surely Trump gets, you know, thousands of emails all the time and probably doesn't respond to all of them. Well, he didn't respond in an email. He put it right up on Truth Social. In response, former President Trump posted this on Truth Social: "I love this James Calkins and his huge flagpole. Santa Rosa is the greatest place I have ever flown over. I love this idea, and I love the big-time successful thinking it represents. This Calkins knows what the people of Santa Rosa County want, and what they want is Trump and a big flag. Let's go, James." I'm trying to read with emphasis the caps, you know, because he capitalizes a lot on True Social. "In fact, this is such a genius idea that I want to make you Governor James Calkins in 2026. I can get anyone elected governor just like I did for Ron DeSantis. Together we can do it. We've got to make America Calkins again. Unfortunately, I can't send you money today because Joe Biden's goons are trying to bankrupt me, and I will need every penny to win the election. But if you start the project with your own money, I promise to pay you back after the great people of the USA elect me president for the third time. Finally, to show you my appreciation, I'm sending you a special signed limited edition Trump-endorsed God Bless the USA Bible. Sincerely, your favorite president of all time, Donald J. Trump." I mean, I love this idea. Like, I kind of love the idea. I'm not such a big fan necessarily of flying the Trump flag, but I love that it's privately funded. You know, I love the idea that we're not going to be using, you know, tourism money to do it. And it seems like the financing is still a little bit murky. But, you know, if Calkins puts up his own money temporarily and then Trump wins the presidency, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of surprised he didn't think of the possibility of using campaign funds for it. Because, you know, if it's going to be flying a Trump flag, that's a campaign expense. And he could probably do this in, well, gosh, why just Florida? You know, maybe he could do it in at least swing states, or maybe like one in every state. I don't know. I'm just, you know, thinking through the possibility. It's a lot to react to early on a Monday morning. But I don't know. It just, you know, we're going to get the American flag. And, I, you know, if Trump wins, maybe you celebrate Trump underneath the American flag on a giant 207-foot flagpole. And, you know, if Trump doesn't win, maybe you take that part down. I don't know. But if he owns it and he can get the requisite, you know, permits and it doesn't offend the flight patterns for NAS Whiting Field or anything like that, then it's just a private endeavor. And if it's only $500,000, I mean, the guy's got at least a half a billion in the bank. He can do this 1,000 times over. You figure the presidential campaign money has got to be a lot. You know, presidential campaign usually runs about $1 billion. So there's going to be a lot of money. I don't know. It just seems like a solution. And, you know, if president's on board, former president's on board, and James Calkins is on board. Now, the one part I'm a little concerned about, the jumping of James Calkins all the way to be governor. You know, obviously not such a huge fan of Calkins and his legislative capabilities. That seems like a bit of an overreach, a bit of an overpromise. But it's within Trump's range, so to speak, as somebody who, you know, there's kind of like no idea too outrageous that he wouldn't entertain. And, you know, Ron DeSantis is going to be out of office. And, you know, who's going to be running for governor, right? Jimmy Paternas, you figure. Maybe Matt Gaetz. I don't know. You know, Matt endorsed Maria Calkins last time around. Maybe Matt bows out and makes way for, I don't know. I mean, it seems unlikely, right? That seems pretty unlikely that he would. I mean, even the jump from county commissioner to governor, that's not a statewide recognition. But, you know, I'm sure in James Calkins' mind, this makes sense. And, you know, he probably thinks he's up to the task. So time will tell. 516 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So, yeah, pretty surprising story. But like I said, at the same time, maybe it solves a bunch of problems. I don't know. It just kind of caught me off guard. But, you know, I saw the email, saw the Truth Social post and thought, all right, here we go. Monday morning. You know, happy Monday. That's the news as we know it. 437-1620, 437-1620. You know, if you have a project that you're working on at home, building a giant flagpole or anything else, you want to get the best products, you want to get the right advice to make sure that you do it right and don't have to do it a second time, that's my way. Do it once, do it wrong, do it a second time. Go to Pensacola Hardware. Talk to them about what products you need. You know, what is the best strategy for doing it? They're great at giving the advice, which they are always able to do. And they'll guide you through it so that you don't make those mistakes, you know, because whether it's your first time or your 50th time, like if you build something stuff for a living, you know, they can help you with that too. And they have been doing a lot of this stuff since, God, what, 172 years? They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. So whether you need just the stuff or you need advice or you need housewares to go shopping like for yourself or, you know, somebody's birthday is coming up, whatever, they have it all at Pensacola Hardware right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
I feel occasional burning and stabbing in my hands as I age.
I sometimes feel numbness and tingling in my feet as I get older.
It's starting to get in the way of doing what I love.
At Nervive, we hear you, and we can help. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use.
Now that I know, I'm taking control.
Try Nervive Nerve Relief and say yes to healthy nerves.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up. This message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake. and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, no!
Mom's favorite vase.
She always says, don't play ball in the house.
I started this project several years ago, going back and listening to albums from bands that I loved, but I had not listened to all of their albums before, and on the hopes that, you know, if I loved the band's, like, fourth album, maybe I loved their first and their second album, too, or maybe I'd find stuff there that I wasn't familiar with, and in this process, I discovered that, for example, the bands that I thought maybe were going to turn out to be really good over time, like Green Day, were pretty mediocre over time. And other bands that I didn't even expect it from, like The Offspring, pretty rad. Like, a lot of their music is really, really good. So it's been kind of a fun experience. I'm still doing it. I'm still going back and listening to stuff. Like, I'm listening to Pat Benatar now. You're like, Pat Benatar? Yeah, no, her early stuff is really, really good. And you know some of the songs, but some of the other stuff, I'm like, ah, this is really strong. 521 on Newsred, and then other bands, you're like, yep, I knew what I needed to know already. Jake, can you affirm?
Yes, I actually did something like this a few years ago, too, where I went back and listened to all records and then, you know, listened to the second and the third, you know, mm-hmm. offerings. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I agree with you. It's about the same where some of them you're like, yeah, okay, well, I see the sophomore jinx there, you know.
I'm surprised at some bands. I don't want to get it wrong. There was one that I was listening to. I'm like, their music didn't get good till like the fifth album. How'd they even keep making albums, you know? And it was like a, I don't remember if it was Aerosmith or if it was just like Aerosmith level, but it was somebody where I was really surprised that I'm like, man, their music is terrible until you get to about the fifth album. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden set to visit Baltimore this week. He'll be meeting with state and local officials there that are involved in recovery efforts after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. One person has died. Four more were hurt after a shooting on Sunday at a coffee shop in Nashville. Police say a fight had happened between two men inside this restaurant. There was some type of an Easter event going on, and then somebody fired multiple shots. It's believed the deceased victim was one of the men involved in that fight, and they're still looking for a suspect there. And no winner again with the Powerball jackpot. It's up to almost $1 billion now. For tonight's drawings, $975 million is what it's at right now. Of course, the odds are not in my favor tonight.
They're not forever in your favor.
1 in 292 million chance that I won't be here tomorrow.
All right, quick math test. You ready?
Oh no, I'm never ready for a quick math test.
Are your chances of winning better or worse with a lottery that's 1 in 292 million or 1.5 billion? I won't make you answer. I was thinking over the weekend because I have no teams in the Final Four because Illinois lost and Oregon lost and Houston lost and everybody I picked to win lost. And I thought to myself, well, what are the odds? And I started doing the math in my head, and I'm like, yeah, well, if you just – everybody's got an equal chance of getting picked into your Final Four. It's something around – you've got about a – let's see, yeah, you got about a 30% chance of missing everybody, 35% chance, something like that. So that's actually pretty easy to miss everybody in the Final Four, and I did manage to miss everybody in the Final Four. David, thanks so much for the update. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to buy a home or you need to sell a home, or and I say this a lot, but it's true. If you're just thinking about it, you know, maybe if you're already in the decision phase, you kind of already decided who your realtor is going to be, or you've got a friend or whatever, or you've already contacted somebody. Whatever. Okay, listen. even if you're just thinking about it, you just kind of want to get information, that's the perfect time to call Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, because they are glad to just sit down and talk with you. I know, I've talked with her. She's a good friend, known her for a long time, as long as we've lived here. You know, all the way back to her news days, okay? And she's like, yeah, I love to meet people. I love to talk to them about real estate. I know I'm kind of a nerd about it, but she's like obsessive about it. Like, she wants to know everything because she wants to help people the best that she possibly can. And she does over and over and over again. So whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just thinking about it, you know, for the first time, maybe, you know, should I keep renting? Should I buy a home? Is now the right time? Will it ever be a better time? 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 437-1620. Have you been putting off the purchase of a new electric vehicle? Well, guess what? You might be able to get them cheaper than ever because, you know, as you know, some of these companies are really struggling these days, and some of them are struggling so bad that they are offering discounts. In fact, there is a company based out of California, of course, Fisker, that is now slashing its prices because it's on the verge of bankruptcy, and it's trying to avoid that with another. There was a deal for another automaker to buy them out, okay, but that's not going to happen, so their suggested price for the 2023 Ocean Electric SUV lineup in the U.S., which has Fisker's 2024 Ocean OS software version 2.0. I myself was just a big fan of the 1.0. No, I have no idea. I've never even seen one of these cars except the pictures. Down by tens of thousands of dollars. The manufacturer suggested retail price for the 2023 Ocean Extreme trim from $61,499 is now down to $37,499. That's $24,000 off. Almost half. 40% off. The 2023 Ultra Trim will be priced $34,999, down from $52,999. And the 2023 Sport will be $25,000, down from $39,000. So, man, you can get some smoking deals if you're willing to buy a company that you know is basically on the verge of going out of business. Or potentially. And I don't know, would you buy, you know, that kind of a would you buy that kind of a vehicle, or would you, you know, I mean, I don't know. If you could get, like, I was thinking about it because I don't want an electric vehicle. I'm not a believer. I don't trust it for the future exactly. I know a lot of people love them. I'd be willing to try it if the price were super low. Mostly because at a certain price, a car is a car, you know? And if the car runs, even, you know, if you have issues, I'm sure you could resell it, whatever. But I was thinking to myself, like, what is that price? You know, because I'm not really in the market for a new car, not just yet. But, you know, if it started to get into the, like, under 20, you know, 15,000, I might be willing to just buy it on a lark just to have it. And just because I'm assuming it's fast, I'm assuming it's nice and beautiful and wonderful. And, you know, at a certain point, you think, well, how could you not buy that car? 437-1620. Lizzo's out. We're not quite sure what out, but she said on social media over the weekend that she's sick of all of the lies about her and all of the harsh treatment, and she's quitting. Here's what she posted on Instagram. I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. And she did not capitalize internet. You know, you were supposed to capitalize internet. All I want is to make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. That's pretty dark. I hope that's, I mean, that's like you start to worry about somebody who says stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'm constantly up against lies being told about me for clout and views, being the butt of the joke every single time because of how I look, my character being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this. This is an expletive that starts with S. I quit. Peace out, hands. You know, this is a very understandable reaction. Social media can be very, very unpleasant. And if you make music, you know, if you're a performer, you know, the reason you perform is, you know, because it's fun to do something that you're good at, but also for the reward of being loved, being adored. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think that basically rock stars and musicians were, you know, God intended them to be worship leaders, and they're good at it. And that's a tool that they might use for their own purposes or for God's purposes. And, you know, the fact that you use it and you get money and fame and applause. I mean, performing in a concert is a thrilling thing. You know, getting a crowd of people to love you and respond to you is, I mean, it's a high like there's no other high. You know, why do these people keep doing it over and over and over again? Why do they keep performing? You know, why do major bands from the 70s and 80s still do, you know, 200-person venues because that's what they can book these days? Because it's who they are, it's rewarding to do it, and because it feels great to have people love you. So if your feels great to get people to love you endeavor produces hatred and criticism and makes you feel horrible about your life and unloved, anti-loved and hated, it's I can understand why you would stop doing it. And there's a lot of social media that can be like that. So it's not clear whether she's quitting just social media or music altogether, or even if she's just, you know, being emotional and talking. But remember, she's got a lot of body shaming comments on Twitter, especially after the all the incidents where the allegations that she'd been mistreating her own dancers and creating a hostile work environment and sexual harassment. And, you know, I mean, that's the stuff people have been saying. And I have no idea which of those claims might be true or whether it might all be defamatory or, you know, I'm certainly in no position of privilege when it comes to Lizzo. But the basic problem of wanting to do a thing that you've done to get love and affirmation and your identity from, and it starts to be painful and it's always hurtful and you feel like you can't go on social media because it's not safe for you anymore, I can easily understand why somebody would consider quitting either the whole endeavor or social media under those circumstances.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Migrants who stormed the Texas border on March 21st could be let free. That from the El Paso Times.
The judge reportedly saying all the rioting participation cases will be released on their own recognizance because the DA's office was, quote, not ready to go. It is unclear if the ruling applied only to the riot participation charge and not to the assault and criminal charges related to the border rush.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, the suspect in the Easter Sunday shooting at a restaurant in Nashville, on the loose this morning. Police identifying 46-year-old convicted felon Anton Rucker. He's accused of killing one man, injuring several others. Could prices go up in the Golden State?
Cheeseburgers that we got used to be a dollar, and now the meal was like 10 bucks.
California's $20 minimum wage for fast food workers starts today. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 69 degrees and mostly cloudy in Pensacola. Well, we might find out today if voters are going to be able to weigh in on some controversial issues in November. The Florida Supreme Court is expected to announce if referendums on marijuana and abortion will be put on November's ballot. One referendum would legalize recreational marijuana for anyone 21 and older. The other would prevent the state from banning abortion before viability. A 64-year-old Milton woman was taken to the hospital after a crash last Friday involving two semi-trucks on I-10. That happened near mile marker 8 last Friday evening. The Florida Highway Patrol says one semi-truck rear-ended another semi-truck, then that truck rear-ended the sedan the woman was driving. She was taken to the hospital as a trauma alert after that crash. The incident did result in a brief closure in the eastbound lanes of I-10 because of damage to the trucks. Nobody else, though, was hurt in that crash. An Atmore man is dead after a crash on Alabama Highway 21 over the weekend. That happened on Saturday. ALEA. There we go. Third time's the charm. ALEA says 60-year-old Deloitte Johnson ran off the road into a ditch. They're still investigating that crash. There may be a notable absence today at a city commission meeting in Orlando. Regina Hill, District 5 commissioner there, she was arrested last week. She's not been suspended from serving on that commission. They're meeting today, but they say there's no word on whether she'll be there. Hill, of course, is accused of stealing over $100,000 from one of her elderly constituents. And it is 5:33 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We are going to have a cloudy day today with temperatures very warm in the morning, warming up for the afternoon near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. For Tuesday, very cloudy start to the day with highs reaching 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms possible through the evening and overnight hours. Temperatures overnight Tuesday dropping near 63. For Wednesday morning, showers, thunderstorms continue, then clear out by the afternoon, high near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center. weather.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 72, cloudy right now in Pensacola. 68 in Gulf Breeze and 67 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information. Visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Journal put out this article, one storm away from losing the Blues, and they're right. And so we need to collectively on this board, that base brings in over $6 billion for this county. It's not just in District 2, it's over 45% of our economy. There's no way that it doesn't affect everyone in Escambia County. So this consolidation compatibility utilization study, I want to do all the things that we can in it because I think it's important and we highlight it. And I appreciate the work, Drew, and I don't want to be overcritical, but it's very concerning to me.
Yes, sir.
So this is Commissioner Mike Kohler. We actually talked to him on Thursday, but it was such a good interview, I thought, and such an important perennial issue that I wanted to give you a chance to hear it at the early time. He's a retired Navy captain for 33 years, and this study that he's talking about is the basic interaction and fit between NAS Pensacola and, Corey Station, Whiting Field to some degree, but it's really focused on NAS Pensacola, and the surrounding community. And that means everything from, employment for spouses to available housing or at what price housing, what the roads are like, what the schools are like. That's been a longstanding issue for Escambia County. Quality of life issues, interaction with the community, just sort of all of it. The whole idea is, does the base fit here? Is it compatible with here? It's 264 pages. I have not yet read it all. I do plan to read it and try to read it all. I mean, that's a lot. I kind of want to know. And this is a huge thing because it's such a big part of our economy. In both counties, the major naval stations are enormous parts of the economy. And if that changed, if pieces of the missions went away, or if entire missions, or if the whole thing went away, because, $400 billion from Hurricane Sally is a big price tag. That's big deal when it comes to the Navy making the decision about whether to be here or to be somewhere else. And so we talked with Mike about this last Thursday. Commissioner Kohler, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm worried. I have always known that this was kind of the thing we should be paying attention to. Post-Sally, $400 million in damage, concern about loss of mission, consolidation, reallocation, schools. There are issues. So you tell me, you tell our listeners, how concerned should we be and what should we be concerned about?
Well, I think we just need to have heightened awareness. Okay, so in my 33 years in the Navy, I was part of the 1993 BRAC, as many of you know, that closed multiple military installations across the United States. At that time, I was I was stationed in Elk Knoll. The chairman of the Armed Services Committee was a guy named Congressman Ron Dellums. He came to Elk Knoll. We all went down. He said, look, you have nothing to worry about here. We're not closing Alameda. We're not closing Treasure Island. We're not closing the hospital. About 7 months later, the admiral came down, and we had an all hands. He said, we got to prepare to close the hospital. So, you know, and then the Kona study, Navy Hospital Pensacola, that affected multiple healthcare facilities, not just Navy. I was part of that, and when I was director of healthcare business, they brought down a team from BMed. Mo Patton was the CEO. We all sat around and said, oh, this is just a way to improve operations. Well, then about a year later, we're getting rid of the family resident program. We're getting rid of the agreement with the VA. We're getting rid of the ICU. We're getting rid of the ER. Nothing to worry about there. Just hundreds of jobs lost, just a normal consolidation. So when I got elected, I found about this thing, and I said, oh, man, not another lease. Now, that doesn't always mean it's going to happen, but you have to be in the game, and you have to be fighting because other communities will be fighting. And what I'd like to share with you, if you just look over at Santa Rosa for a second, I was stationed out there as lieutenant too. If you go back to 1976, the New York Times article, February 15th, they say Army training will be moving. I mean, Whiting Field training will be moving to Fort Rucker in Alabama. You move forward to basically 1993, Army rejects Navy bid to delay consolidation of helicopter training. If you look in 1993, the Army says inside the Army, we will be moving, accepting training from Whiting Field. Whiting Field has done a great job to make themselves resilient now. And unfortunately, I was OIC, the clinic out at the base, when we brought 479th on, the Air Force unit. And I was basically there to see how many flight surgeons we needed based on the amount of student through population. 479th, if you look at the history, has moved 8 times in the last 50 years. They are a moving unit. We need to keep them. They bring in a lot of economy to Escambia County. We want to keep them. They're a good neighbor for.
And by the way, I just in case, because many people don't even know, like you saying that there's an Air Force training element on NAS Pensacola is news to a lot of people. So I'm just wanting to pause to include them and say, yeah, the 479th that trains combat systems officers, backseaters, over on NAS Pensacola is a pretty significant operation. And yes, it's an Air Force training operation at the base. Go ahead. I just want, because I know for a lot of people, they don't know this stuff.
No,
and
you're absolutely
go ahead.
Right. I could talk in military acronyms a little bit. Sorry about that.
I know, it's
but,
normal.
You know, and then you look at the other bases like Coy Field that we've been training crypto there forever. You look at the Navy Hospital. You look at Softly Field that's no longer out there. It's a federal prison camp. But they used to have a pretty robust operation out there.
Right. It's a solar field, and they have inmates now, right?
Yep, solar field and inmates. You got it. So when you say, oh, nothing's changing around here, well, look at NADAPS when we had the 1993 BRAC. That went away. Hundreds of jobs. Now, we brought some stuff in, and that's good. And earlier you were talking about the Blue Angels. The Blue Angels is a recruitment tool for the Navy. They're not part of training, equipping, and supporting the warfighter. That's the mission of the Navy, and we get off track sometimes. So you are absolutely right. Everyone loves the Blue Angels. I loved them. I love them until the last 2 days with the traffic going in the back base where I got hundreds of calls for all the citizens out there. But the bottom line is we love them. We want to keep them here. But that's not the mission of NAS Pensacola.
Absolutely. So, and that's the thing, I think, again, because people don't know, okay? Because we, like people like me, haven't done enough of a job of explaining it to folks that, look, the Blue Angels are the thing everybody sees, the thing everybody knows. They have the great planes on the water tower and on the overpasses and all that stuff. But the Blue Angels is a luxury item, a dessert item that we would feel horrible if they lost, and we would lose, you know, tourism dollars there. But the heart of NAS Pensacola is the massive training mission for all of the, the support staff around aviation. That's what NAS Pensacola really means to this economy.
Well, if you even read the compatibility utilization study, they talk about the $6.6 billion that it affected in the economy, the 60,000 students that come through. So it's enlisted aviation training, it's crypto training, it's training naval aviators. It's across the spectrum. And, another thing I think people forget, if you don't remember, we used to have AOCS here, Aviation Officer Candidate School. You know where that went to? Newport, Rhode Island. It got consolidated. Now everyone that goes to officers indoctrination school goes to Newport. So we've lost all kinds of things. The brig's another good example. We used to have a brig on the base. All the brigs now go over to, I believe, Charleston. I mean, I could go on, and I could talk about Navy healthcare, how we've lost multiple. I taught for over a decade for BUMED all over Navy health installations across the globe. And I could literally tell you at least 25 that have either been shut down, decreased, or consolidated. All you have to do is look at Walter Reed that used to be Bethesda Naval Hospital. It's now Army Hospital that's joint. And you know, that's where the president goes. So there's multiple factors here. It's part of a smaller service.
As a layman, okay, when I look at this situation, I think we've known for a long time the schools were a problem. We've known for a long time that hurricane threat and the cost of rebuilding is a problem. We more recently know that the price of housing and the traffic congestion are problems for quality of life. And these are all things that take long-term solutions. Are there other aspects? What do we need to do? And, you know, starting with just this compatibility use study, does the study itself need to be significantly transformed to put our best foot forward to maintain at least what we've got with the Navy?
Well, there's some positive things in the study that highlight government inefficiency. For example, the TPO, where the Gulf Beach Highway, you can go from east to Panama City to Navy and Brancas, and then you go to Alabama border, and it's a two-lane road. How's that possible? Well, you got to look at the TPO process, even though that's the only road mentioned in the compatibility use study. And, you know, so you got to look at it that. You look at Chiefs Way, that was a pretty easy cleanup, right? You look at the front gate, and you could go into Baptist. The first thing you come off the front gate of the base, you have old Marcellos that's been blight for probably 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and the TPO went forward with the design to clean that up. We've done Old Quarry. The schools were just a hit. I thought that was unfair on the study. But here's the change in military mission. It's not just about mission. It's quality of life for family and kids. That has totally changed in the last 10 to 15 years. So when you look at different things that would have never probably been considered in the past, they used to joke and say, your mom doesn't come in your sea bag. Well, yeah, your whole family comes in your sea bag, your dog, your sexual orientation, everything comes in it now. And that's all looked into it. And you're competing against a lot of different things that you struggle with on mission readiness. In my opinion, you know, I'm an old timer, you know, I was in a long time, but those things, when you look at, water quality, environmental impacts, which we're doing a lot. We have the White Island project that we're trying to get through the engineering, which will help with resiliency with exactly what you mentioned, Andrew, about hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. The biggest concern for Big Navy is, can we sustain another hurricane and the cost to repair the base? I've talked to a previous CO about that. And he knows this, when the Bison O came down, hey, we could, they feel that's a big threat to keep in missionary. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to move it, but it always comes up. Is the hurricanes worth the cost of doing business in Pensacola? Well, a lot of communities have that. Jacksonville, Corpus Christi, all have those same threat risks, right? So, you know, you got to lobby that you're doing everything you can to sustain that. You know, say we moved to Nebraska or Louisiana, you've got tornadoes, right? So you got to make the right argument. But in my opinion, you look at some of the stuff. So the public works, I don't like the word center of excellence for when, you know, on the cyber training. I thought what they were saying at Chiefs Way, which there were some good ideas to clean up the front gate, put in some lighting. But cyber training is now under the Secretary of the Air Force, and they designate all training under the DOD Directive 5101. And so they could move that base tomorrow on a service line cut. I hope they never would, but the Navy, I don't think, could do anything to say, please stop. You know, and Fort Gordon has a center of excellence in cybersecurity. So you start looking at terminology and how we talk in the military, and you always have to think, is there a threat? And I wish they ever, you know, all of my colleagues would have made comments. If you look at the stakeholders in this, when I first started getting involved in this, and I mentioned this from the dais, There was no one there. They're putting out a study where there's only a handful of people that could affect the whole county.
Wow.
And I asked for who's been at these minutes and the agenda before. Nothing. Couldn't produce anything. So that was the first concern. Do we have the right visibility? Do we have enough public outcry and opinion? And I didn't believe there was. And that's why I would have never voted for this if it had to come to a vote for the dais. I would have said no. And I think I stated that pretty clearly.
Yeah, you did. And, you know, look, Mike, we have to let you go here in a second. And this is a much bigger conversation. You had told me something briefly when we were getting on the air right before we came on the air regarding, for example, the 479th. You've found some information. That's the Air Force training mission here. What did you find out?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get too over the top of my skis, but so someone had texted me, I don't want to mention their name, that they were going to divest some of the planes in the Air Force at 479. Well, last night I was at the opera with an aviator that happened to be sitting next to me, and it is true. But what they're going to do is they're going to integrate simulation training.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to cut any billets down the road or if it's going to be someone on the Air Force side or the base CO needs to talk about that more thoroughly. But I do believe it's true that there will be some divestation of aircraft. I've been told 21 to 22 planes out there, and it's going to move into a simulation-based training. Those are all things that may be better. I don't know. Maybe worse, right?
Right.
You know, we probably need to ask some questions, but I just found out about that 2 days ago. And Debbie Graham, which works on those. Huh?
No, I was just going to say, and that's kind of the point you're making, is that there are so many facets to the mission at NAS Pensacola and Corey and Whiting. And as you say, Whiting has done a really good job over the years of really protecting itself from these threats. NAS Pensacola and Corey, just because of a lot of circumstances, are in, I think, a much more vulnerable position. And we need to take that seriously collectively as a county, leadership on down to the ordinary folks. So I just wanted to have you come on to talk about this for a minute, Mike. You and I could talk about non-base related things for another hour.
Just a few more seconds, Andrew.
I
don't want to leave on. Okay. Admiral Quinn is very involved with the governor on the Defense Health Resiliency Team, and the Emerald Coast Military Institute Resilience Review is working on this. So it's not all doom and gloom, but we all need to be vigilant. That's all I wanted to close on. Thank you.
No, that's all. That's very good information. And I definitely want to see from our commissioner leadership, outside of your voice, a real understanding of the urgency and the significance of this. Mike Kohler, Escambia County Commissioner for District 2. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
All right, have a great day, Andrew.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this is a big deal. You know, if nothing happens, then wonderful. If we fare better than other communities who are potential locations for missions or increased missions here, I mean, even better. But it's also possible that we could have decreased missions. And there's, you know, my perception of this is that there's not, like, some big thing waiting to happen. But as Mike said right at the beginning, you know, They don't come out and tell you, hey, we're cutting this thing. They tell you, we're not cutting. And then you wake up one day, you're like, here's your move. You know, because that's just the way it has to happen. And, you know, we need to always be working to make our community a more Navy-friendly place, unless we think quite wrongly that, you know, our whole economy doesn't depend on the presence of the Navy. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide what to do, or even if it's time, because, you know, you might be, I mean, if you're like me, you put off getting that new one too long because you don't like the process of change, you don't like the process of shopping, and there's some, you know, weird belief in your head that the longer you go, the more, you know, economically it makes sense. But a lot of times you get yourself into a bind because you're spending more to maintain an older vehicle than it would be to just have a newer vehicle. And you don't think about it, but it can often be true. That's, you know, every $500 or $1,000 repair you put in there, you're like, oh, well, that's a couple of months of payments, right? So go to Frontier Motors and look around and see. You'll see what's available, what kind of technology there is. It's all kinds of different technology that you might not have seen if you haven't driven a newer car in 5 or 10 years. And, you know, whether you like it, what you like, you might be surprised by what you discover you do and don't like, you know, and maybe try something outside of your comfort zone, because you may discover, I didn't think I was a Jeep person, but look at that. That's kind of fun. Or maybe you're like, that's why I'm not a Jeep person. Okay, either way, they have 300 different cars and trucks and Jeeps and vans and sedans all on the lot, and you can drive as many as you like. And if they've got what you want, you can buy it. If they've got what you think you might want, you can wait. And if they don't quite have it, you can, you know, have them go look for it. They do that for people all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Ferris Health Partners, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions today at 9 with Ferris Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Good morning, 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yeah, man, REM. That's the good stuff. Like I said, not the top of the list for, you know, most popular, but that's another band where you dig in and you'll find a lot of music maybe you didn't love if you don't like their slower, weepier stuff, you know, the sort of the Morrissey end of the REM spectrum, which is how I describe it. But some of their good rock is like really, really good. Like Lightning Hopkins is just a great song, and nobody who doesn't own the album's ever heard it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden will be hosting the White House Easter egg roll today. That tradition dates back to 1878. They're expecting 40,000 people to be a part of the event. California's new fast food minimum wage law takes effect today. Fast food workers there will be paid at least $20 per hour. And they're saying that that could lead to fast food chains upping their menu prices, laying off employees, or reducing hours.
Everything, even the tater tots, everything, the price is going to increase in that.
That man owns a catering business in San Diego. He says he'll be increasing prices so he can keep paying a competitive wage. And Pluto is now the official state planet of Arizona.
Oh, interesting. Go on.
Yeah, Governor Katie Hobbs apparently signed this into law Friday. Pluto was discovered back in 1930 by an astronomer at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, the only planet to be discovered in the U.S. before being stripped of its title as a planet because it was reclassified as a dwarf planet.
Yeah, no, that's interesting that they would declare it. What was the exact thing that
the
they declared it?
Official state planet of Arizona.
I see. I'm a big fan of this. I think Pluto is a planet. You can't just unplanet something.
Absolutely not.
And, you know, if you want to say it's a planet, but by our sort of modern definitions, we wouldn't still classify it as that. I don't mind a little context around the thing, but don't tear down a thing. We all grew up thinking there were nine planets, learning our acronyms and all that, and it was a sad, tragic, horrible, painful day when they deplaneted Pluto, and I'm still upset about it. So I appreciate this from Arizona. This is
upset.
A good move. This is the state saying, screw you. We don't care. We don't have to abide by your classification
system. It's
still
a planet to us.
That's right. That's right. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Are you an AT&T customer? Yeah. What, 73 million people had a data breach online? All kinds of things, including your like your PIN code for AT&T and a bunch of other stuff. They're sending out emails to let you know, so you may already have been notified about this. But yeah, it's just another data breach, right? And you know, and they said the dark web had a bunch of information, including, by the way, social security numbers. Okay, so 65 million former account holders and 7.5 million current account holders. So if you are in the former or current, you may want to, you know, check into that and, you know, see whether it affects you or not. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, interesting development in the Santa Rosa County flag story. Big development. We'll tell you about that coming up next after David has your local news and Fox News.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.